Have you experienced something of God tonight?
Wonderful.
I feel like there's a shift that's going to happen with us together. Rob was originally planned to preach tonight, so he's still going to be sharing, but he's going to select what God is highlighting. But yeah, we're going to tag team and we're going to see how it goes and what God is going to say. Yeah, but we just. Yeah, you know, all we're trying to do is to rely on God, is to see where He takes us, and because that's what's best for us as a people. Amen. Amen.
Cool. So the message for tonight was keep growing, and I think we've done quite a lot of that so far, eh? And just to commend you guys, worship guys, the congregation to respond like that. It's like. Who needs sound? Who needs? We are the church. We are the voice that comes up before our King. And just amazing to see the response. Awesome, guys. So, in preparing for tonight, I prepared a message and stuff. And then the whole time, it just felt like God, like, He didn't want me to preach it. It's almost like He wants to prophesy and speak. So, in the middle of this, I was like, when the worship went like that, I was like, okay, God, so we are being tested and tried, and we are growing. So there's actually a manifestation of what God was doing. And so what we're going to try and do tonight is, for me, a little bit off-key, but it's growing. We're going to try and go where we believe God is. So I'm going to share some stuff. Chris is going to maybe jump in. That's what we feel like God wants to do, and speak over us, and not going to script. And so that's going to grow me a little bit and Chris a little bit, but we're going to grow, and that is what God wants us to do, to keep on growing. The biggest challenge when life throws stuff at us is to stop growing. It's to shrink back. It's to, like I shared a little bit in the thing about this year, it's been a very trying year for me and Leonie with all kinds of stuff, and at times I was like, I'm an elder in your church, God, and part of me wants to shrink back. But I can't afford to shrink back. God's called us to grow all the time, anywhere, 24/7. Be life. We've got life inside of us. And how do we keep on growing when there's times I just want to, like, stick my head in the ground and, you know, put on series for 4 years and, you know, disappear? I don't do that, but, you know, that's some of the things that we do do. So one of the things that, it was a long winter, and I don't know about you, I started growing in the wrong places because of inactivity physically, and I get frustrated when I don't exercise. I like exercising, and on the other side of that, I've been reading a lot, and leaders are readers, so I'm trying to grow that muscle as well, read more books and stuff. I like the military. I was in the military. So there's one book about this Navy SEAL called You Can't Hurt Me. Just kept on. So I was like, let me go and read it. And there was something that he said in there that really stuck to me. He said, success is on the other side of fear and pain. And then it just made me think of Jesus and the cross and what he went through. His success was on the other side of fear and pain. And they have a thing. So this guy's a bit of a nutter. He did Hell Week 3 times, which is the Navy SEAL training where they really run you into the ground. He went through that 3 times to get Navy SEAL. He got his Navy SEAL. Then he volunteered to do Army Ranger training, went through their whole course again, nailed that. Then he volunteered, he wanted to do Delta Force training, went through that, never made that. Delta Force is quite next level by the sounds of things. But just, he kept on pushing through this barrier of fear and pain. And he kept on growing, just like he didn't stop. And this is just natural, but there's a similar parallel in the spiritual realm of, are we going to allow fear and pain? We spoke about this country, there's a lot of fear. I mean, I'm in the marketplace, it's just like in your face all the time. People are scared. But are we going to be those people? Are we going to be the ones also going, yeah, yeah, it's bad and this and that? Or are we going to be going, yeah, but God? God has got a plan for us in this place. Whether it's to fix the country up or not, I don't know. But he's got a plan for us as his church and to show people a different way of life. And so this guy, they've got a thing called the 40% rule, where they reckon when you feel like you're at the end of yourself, you cannot go on, you want to give up, that you're only at 40% of your capacity. And I mean, this guy does crazy stuff. He does the ultra Ironman. He's running with, like, he duct tapes his legs together with shin splints, just like crazy stuff. But it just got me thinking, like, how much in God, when we think we can't go on in God anymore, and God says in his word, he'll never take us beyond what we can handle. But often we want to shrink back, we want to give up, and we stop growing. So Chris, you must just shout if you want to. So there was the one thing that I just wanted to highlight, that we don't let fear and pain stop us. And what does that look in your life? What does fear and pain look like to you? It might be painful to serve on AV. It might be fearful to come up here and pray. So don't let fear and pain stop you in what God's calling you in your calling. Because each and every one of us is called to something. We're all part of that tent. We've all got a place in the tent. Just last week we did a test. Chris did the faith test. And I'm sure a lot of us failed in a lot of areas. There's a few nodding heads out there. I failed as well. And you know, failure is a beautiful thing if you look at it the right way. Failure is an opportunity to grow and learn. And I trust that we didn't feel like, oh, woe is me, I'm out of here. Because I didn't pass the test. Like Peter did. He got out. He passed the test getting out the boat, but then he failed, but then he still got up again. He failed the test when he denied Christ, but then he got up again, and Jesus built the church on him. Didn't matter about his failure. Then he went on to be crucified, and it's like, I can't be crucified the same way as my Lord. I have to be done upside down. I'm not worthy of the same death that he was. He didn't let fear and pain stop him in the end. He actually went right to, I mean, that's like beyond martyrdom.
Teamwork. This is team in action. On Peter with the... You guys remember Peter actually, when Jesus said to him, you're going to betray me 3 times? And Peter said, Lord, I'll never betray you. It's like, and then the other time he was like, no, Lord, you're not going to die on the cross. He's like, we're all going to relate to Peter, but what I want to emphasize is at the end of the day, there was this one moment where Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're going to betray me. And Peter said, Lord, no, I will die with you. And maybe there was this little, I will rather die with you, but I will not betray you. But then Peter, we all know the story. He does betray Jesus. But then Jesus comes back and he recognizes that he actually allows Peter to die for him. And I might not be representing the scriptures very accurately at this moment, but the point that I feel like God is making is God said to Peter, you will die for me. Instead of Peter saying, Lord, I will die for you. God said, and I feel like something of tonight, God wants to take us, each one of us, he wants to bring us into a calling where God speaks over us instead of us calling ourselves. So I want to read us just a scripture that's been in my, I've not been able to shake it ever since I've been here. Maybe if our AV guys are fast, you can just get on the board for me. Exodus 2 verse 11 to 15. Maybe if you guys, I see a little work. Can you let it? Oh, yeah, it's fine. So it's fine. It's fine. I'll just read it. One day, when Moses had grown up, I just want to briefly touch on Moses. Moses growing up in Pharaoh's house. You all know that. He grew up as an Egyptian in Pharaoh's house. He was not an Egyptian, he was a Hebrew. He was part of the Israelites, but his mom put him in the basket down the river, and at 3 months old, I can't imagine doing that. But anyway, but his mom did it in faith, because otherwise Moses would have been killed like all the rest of the Israelite Hebrew boys, because there was a decree out that all the male Hebrew sons must be killed. So his mom puts him in the basket, down the river he goes. Pharaoh's wife or daughter, I can't remember, finds him, raises him up as a Egyptian prince, basically. Prince of Egypt. Go watch, that's a cool movie. Go watch Prince of Egypt. But I want to read us Exodus 2 verse 11. So one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, not the Egyptian, to his people, the Hebrew slaves. He went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Verse 12, he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, verse 14, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. I love the story of Moses. It's interesting. As Moses, God has called Moses to redeem Israel. That calling was there. But what Moses at first did, and he probably didn't know it, but at first he tried to do it in his own strength. He kills an Egyptian, which at the end of the day is something that God actually at the end of the day kills like millions of Egyptians through Moses. But Moses in his own strength kills one Egyptian. He takes on a calling upon his life. He takes something on himself that God has not yet spoken over him. And I feel like this links up with the whole thing about the country that I've been feeling. Like there's things that we are taking up that God has not called us to be in. And there's things in our lives that we are walking out, actually, that God has not spoken us to walk them out. So I feel like God is calling us to a place of the things that you are giving yourself to, has God spoken to you to walk in it? And then but a couple of words stand out for me. Verse 11, if we can get verse 11 quickly back up. One day when Moses had grown up, I feel like that grown up is something that we feel like, it's something that God wants to actually touch on tonight. Is some of us feel like we've grown up. But I want to say that in the kingdom, we are never grown up. We are never grown up in this represents that independence. I don't actually need God in my life. I can actually be fine without God. And then the other thing that stood out for me, he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down he takes action in his, because he sees that God is kind of not doing anything, so he takes action into his own hands. And I feel like God, again, this is God, we must walk in that what God has called us to walk. And then God goes into the process where Moses runs for 40 years of his life, and you can read it in the next chapter, Exodus 3. The burning, but I want to link up with what Rob speak. At first, Moses failed because he did it in his own strength. He did, and Peter probably, he also failed because he tried to run in his own strength. He tried to work in his own strength. And I want to share with us tonight that what God has called us to do, we cannot do it in our own strength. My prayer this whole weekend for even leading this meeting tonight is, Lord, I cannot afford to lead this meeting in my own strength. Because to be honest, I can do it. And maybe some of you won't even recognize if I do it, but I've said to Jesus, Lord, I cannot afford to, because I'll lead people astray. I'll miss what God has for us. And so, this tonight is different. So, just want to touch on that, like, that failing thing. Moses also failed, but what did God do? God actually restored him into a much bigger calling than what he actually ever could have anticipated. So if you failed, like if you feel like you failed in the calling that God has in your life, or you're too old to walk in the call. No, no, no. There's never a too old in God. There's never a you fail to the point where God cannot restore what He's called you for. Amen?
It's amazing, because if you look in Hebrews 11, all that, like a roll honor of the guys of the faith, they all had failures. Eh? Glaring failures. I mean, that would cause us to walk away. Sleeping with other man's wife, killing another man because you slept with the wife and didn't. I mean, that's David. I mean, how many of us would actually come back to church after doing stuff like that? Eh? I don't know. That's a lot of stuff to deal with. And yet, failure didn't stop them walking in what God had for them. I just want to touch on, you know, often there's things that stop us growing spiritually, about lack of faith, fear, doubt. Am I capable? Am I too capable? Have I got pride? But the one thing I really felt like God wanted to speak to us tonight, and is that we can stop God. We can stop God moving in our lives. And I remember I was, 2006, I was in the Isle of the Man, on the Isle of Man conference, and we were worshiping, and it was that song, "Who Can Stop the Lord God Almighty Now?" And I was just like, "God, who can stop you?" And it was like God poked me on the chest, and He's like, "You can." And I was like, you know those moments you're just kind of like, "Whoa, God." And I went up and shared with Andrew just what God had done, and he actually spent the next session, two sessions, sharing on how we can stop God. And it's kind of like something you think like, God is unstoppable. But yet we look, if you look in the walk of faith, how many guys have walked away from the faith that you know over the years, that I know over the years, stopped God working in their lives? And if you look at this, if you can go to 1 Peter, I don't know whether they're up there, but 1 Peter 5:1-5, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God opposes you. So you can actually stop what God's doing in your life because you're proud, or whatever you're doing. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." And then I love this part, "casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." All anxiety. We've spoken about this country tonight. A lot of anxiety in this country at the moment. And a lot of people are doing it their way. They're immigrating, they're leaving, they're doing this. And even in the church, there's people going, and I don't know whether they're going for the right reasons or not. I don't know the heart attitude, but I know what I've had to deal with in my heart. But do we really believe that God cares for us? Do we believe in the goodness of God? That He will keep us. Doesn't matter where. I'll share maybe just going off this completely, a little testimony. Some of you might have heard it, so I'm sorry if you're hearing it again. But just how God can protect you. When I was in the military, at the end of the first year, they ship you off all over the place in the country. And my company was going to get sent off to Middelburg in the old Transvaal. And they were looking for guys that could drive rattles, those six-wheel things, to go to the border. And I had a license for a rattle. And I wasn't a believer. But something inside me said, "You go to the border. You volunteer to do that." My mom was a believer. My brother was kind of like battling to be a believer. But God, I believe it was God, spoke to me then. Volunteer to go to the border. Everyone's like, "You mad? You can go to Middelburg, sit in your butt and, you know, tan," because nothing much happened up there. So anyway, I've volunteered. I'm going to go to the border. And off I went to the border. And by about September of that year, we went over the border. We went into Angola, and we were there probably about a month and a half. And it's fighting. We were like 500 kilometers into the country, fighting with the Russians, the Cubans, everybody. So it was, every day was potentially your last day. And in that time, my company that I would have gone to Middelburg with got called up to come up and help fight in that time. what makes me. Just God's goodness, eh? That company comes up into the middle. We're like in the middle of nowhere in Angola. So I don't join them, but about, I don't know, a month later, they're involved in a massive contact with the whole Fapler Brigade for the guys that I was in the same platoon with. All killed. All killed. And just because I listened to the voice of God of where He wanted to put me, I didn't even know God. I mean, that's how God cares for us. I mean, I was a scumbag, and I listened to God's voice against my reasoning about everything to go where there was death. And yet God preserved my life. If I'd have gone where there's safety, I would have been dead today. And just that we know the goodness of our God, how much He sees. It talks about, I mean, you laugh, the hairs on our head He knows. He knows. Very easy for me. Estin, you got a whole lot there. I mean, God must really have a job with you, man. But that's how much God cares for us. And I think often when stuff hits us, we actually forget the goodness of our God. We forget how much God cares, because circumstance is telling us otherwise. How can a good God let this happen to me? And it came up about suffering and all that produces in us. But how much do we believe that God is for us? When things get bad. You know, I love that picture of a little, you know, father teaching his boy to ride a bicycle. For me, it's an amazing picture of just, that boy is going to go through some fear and pain and nervousness. But what his dad wants him to do is learn something. He's not there going, come on, fail, fall, hurt your knees, whatever. He's like cheering that boy on. And so often when God calls us to do something, we go through all those things in our heads. Do we believe that God, when He's calling us to stuff, He wants us to succeed? And that He cares. Because when you go through that stuff, when you learn to ride your bicycle, and we all learn to ride bicycles, I hope so, at some stage in our lives, it changed your life radically, eh? When you were a 5-year-old and now you got a bicycle, I could ride to the end of the block. I could explore a whole new world. And it's like that in God. We go through those things. God is cheering us on because He wants us to grow and explore a whole new world. So let's believe in the goodness and the kindness and throw all our anxieties, all our cares, all our fears on Him because He is good. I just want to read one scripture. Just to read it, Psalm 100, verse 4 first. It goes, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. And we started this meeting like that tonight. And then I had a little question, why? And then if we go on to the next verse, verse 5, it goes, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and His faithfulness to all generations. And that's the why. And God wants to just reassure us tonight of that, of His goodness in the midst of it, that we worshipped Him. I thought it was brilliant tonight that we had no sound, that it went. I thought it was so, that is so God messing with our meeting, God breaking into our meeting, messing with my preach, like And I think that's beautiful. And God wants to mess with all our lives. He wants to get into our lives. And I think tonight is actually, if I think about it, the whole meeting is a picture of our lives. If we allow God, well, you can mess my life up. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll do whatever you want to do. I will change course if you want to change course. And I think as much as we've shared tonight, I think there's a picture of what God wants to do in our lives in this time. Will we go off our script and write? You know, there's a scripture. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's producing the movie of our lives. But are we staying on the script that we've got to do? Because if we stay on that place, we're in a safe place. There's no better place to do what He's calling us to do.
There's so much that we could just, it's been incredible, the presence of God, and there's so much that we could release more, but I feel like, I just said to Rob, I feel like that's it, boom. It's like, I know Leonie's got a prophetic word, Carmine's got a prophetic word. I'll ask them to send it to me so we can release it, but I'm not going to release it right now. I want to remind us of one scripture, and I felt like God has, we've done repentance. We've got us, I believe, realigned a lot of us. I believe our hearts. He's positioned us back the 10 pegs, but I feel like God wants to just reassure you tonight, us, that He loves us. That in the midst of what's going on, He loves us. And I want to read us Romans 8. And it's interesting because Romans 8, 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Yeah, let's say that. Let's confess this. It's good to confess scripture. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And we've been speaking about actually walking in the calling of God, not walking in the calling that we have, whether we think we have. I'm just going to, if I can take Keenan as an example, like those of you that know Keenan know that there's a massive calling on his life. But it's always been for him and learning to find God's timing in the calling. There's things in God that he's not yet walking that he's going to be walking in somewhere in the future. Can I use this as an example? Yeah. He's always had the temptation to grab to what God has called him before God has actually put it on. And he's the last couple of years has actually been a lot of dying taking place. And what we're even seeing tonight is because he's allowed the process of God in his life. And he's in a place now where he understands that even in ministry, in life, in leading worship, that he's doing it from a place where he knows that God loves him instead of doing it in a place where I've got to win the love of God. And I know that I'm just sharing something that's very personal for him, but it's actually beautiful. And I just thought of sharing your, I don't know, because I feel it's going to bless somebody. But that's the thing I feel like God loves us, and that's what He wants us. That's where He wants to land this evening. He wants you to know that He loves you. And I feel like there's people here tonight that actually doubt the love of God for their life. They look at everything around them. They look at this, and I know there's like all of us are not walking in everything that God will walk us, get us into. But that's not the focus. It's like, let's be content with the love of God in our lives. And He will work it out for good. He will work it out for good. Moses, Peter, all of them, they tried to walk in the calling before God actually wanted them to walk in the calling. And they made a big mess. So don't chase the calling. Chase Jesus, and He will put the calling and everything in its time, in its place. I don't know, that's a word for somebody, for more than one or whoever. So, but God, verse 20, I want you to know, God loves you. And everything, if you love Him, and if you are called according to His purpose, then everything will work out for good. I often say to people, God, because we think like life is like this. There's this pathway. God wants me to get from A to B. B is heaven. I'm at A. But actually, God leads us from this side. And we forget that. We forget that God actually leads us from eternity. And so what feels like suffering is like, God, how can you allow me to go through this now? Because when I'm going through this, I don't feel your love. I don't experience your love. But God is actually leading us from the place where you will eternally dwell securely in the love of God. And so he's allowing you to go through things because where you will end up will be a place where there will only be love and you won't experience pain and suffering. So remember that God, that's where God is leading you from. God is not like, doesn't know where things are going to end. Now God is leading you from where things are going to end well for you. If you're going to allow him to lead you to that place. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for godly chaos. Thank you for messing with us in a good way. Thank you for interrupting us. And we are always open for that. Lord, we're always open to change direction the last moment because you leading us, you guiding us. I just want to pray right now in this moment, if in your heart you know that you are doubting the love of God in your life, whether God loves you, whether God has a plan and a purpose for you, whether God has actually got something very useful for you to do in this life. Like some of us are doubting that. And just with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you, just stand. I want to pray for you. If you're just doubting, questioning the love of God in your life. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? I know there's more people that question their purpose in God. If you're questioning your purpose in God, just also stand. I want to pray for you. I know there's more people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just show each person who needs to stand right now. Just touch on aspects of their hearts where they feel like they need to respond. We've already repented and things, but God, you wanna reassure us that you love us. You want to reassure us that we have got you've got a perfect plan for our lives. And it's a good plan. It's like the Bible actually says, it's plans to prosper us and not to harm us.